Let's turn to our text, to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And the message for this morning is, the law of God is good. The law of God is good. Romans chapter 7, and let me read for you from verse 7 to verse 12. Romans chapter 7, verse 7 to 12. Here it says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Take note of verse 12. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. When Paul says that the law is holy, what law is he referring to? Now it is very clear from the context that Paul was not speaking of any human law. He was speaking of divine law, the law of God. The Ten Commandments. For in Romans chapter 7, verse 7, the very first verse which we have just read, tells us this. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. So it refers to the Ten Commandments. I think we know the Ten Commandments well, don't we? The Ten Commandments are very important. They are good for us. And I pray we would memorize what the Ten Commandments are. And what are Ten Commandments? In order to help you, today it is offered freely to you a poster of the Ten Commandments. Beautifully designed and printed. This poster is for you to take home. If you have not already taken a copy, please help yourself after the service. At the book table, God's law, the Ten Commandments. You can frame it up and display it at home or in the office to remind us of the goodness and the necessity of the law of God in our lives today if we want to live victoriously. What are the Ten Commandments? Well, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Keep the Sabbath holy. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. The Ten Commandments. Do we need these commandments today? We need them very much. And is the law of God, the Ten Commandments, good or bad? Now, there are people who think that the Ten Commandments, the law of God, is of no use for us today. It is already worthless. It is not good, not useful, and should be thrown out. You see that in the Old Testament, yes, it was the law. The Ten Commandments are only for the Old Testament. We today are in the New Testament. The New Testament is a time of grace, no more of law. So we don't need the commandments anymore. Throw them out. We just live by grace today. Well, the Bible does not teach this. The law of God was not only for the Old Testament people, for the Old Testament time, but also for us today, for New Testament people, and for the New Testament age. And this is made very clear to us, you know, by Paul, right here in Romans, in the book of Romans. If you turn back, look back at Romans chapter 6, and verse 1. Although today we are in the age of grace and saved by grace through faith, just like the Old Testament saints were, the law still applies. The law is still good and necessary, and we need the law. And that's why Paul says and asks this rhetorical question in Romans chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Some people say today we don't need the law. We are under grace. And so since we are already saved, our sins are forgiven. Once saved, always saved, I can sin all I want. I can sin all I like. I don't need to obey the commandments of God. That is a most erroneous and sinful view of what grace is all about. And Paul here says, God forbid that we should think like this. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And then also in verse 15, Romans 6 verse 15, Paul again asks, what then, shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Again, the answer is, God forbid. May it never, never be so. May we never, never think like this and misinterpret the law of God and the grace of God. So this morning we want to understand what the law of God is all about. What the law of God means for us today. Please know that the moral law, the Ten Commandments, are a reflection of God's holiness. And God is still holy. And therefore, God's law is still applicable. It's not abrogated at all in the New Testament age of grace. And really, the Ten Commandments still function in the same way as in the Old Testament. Now, Paul said here in Romans 7 verse 12, and I would repeat it, wherefore the law is holy, still is, not was. It is holy. Even today, in the 21st century, it is holy, and the commandment is holy and just and good. The law of God is always good, always holy, and we need it today. And in the Bible, we learn that the law is good for three classes of people that are in the world today. It's good for the sinner. It's good for the seeker. It is good for the saint. And it's good for all of us in these three respective ways. Firstly, we find that the law of God is good as a sword. As a sword. Now here in Romans chapter 7, verse 10-11, we have read, "And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death, for sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me." Okay. So the law functions as a sword to slay the sinner in his sin. And we are told very clearly earlier on in the epistle in the epistle to the Romans by Paul in Romans chapter 3 verse 23 that all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone born into this world was born in sin and stand condemned before God. No one is good. And in Romans chapter 6, 23, we are told of the penalty of sin. What is the sentence? It is a death sentence. For the wages of sin is death. So we are very miserable. We are very miserable people from the day we were born. We stand condemned before a thrice holy God, and the law of God tells us we are no good at all, and we are destined to eternal condemnation and torment and punishment in hell and in the lake of fire. This is the truth. And Romans chapter 3, 19 to 20 tells us, now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And this is repeated in Romans chapter 7, verse 7, when Paul says, nay, I have not known sin, but by the law. Now, what did Paul mean here? I have not known sin, but by the law. Of course, we know sin. You don't have to teach a young child, even 2-3 years old, how to sin. Knows how to sin already. A young child knows how to sin the day he's born. Those of you who are parents will understand this. Don't need to teach a child how to steal. He knows how to steal. I speak from experience. When I stole as a little boy, my parents would know this. You want to know the story? You can ask them how I stole from my mom. Because I wanted to buy toys, you see. No money to buy toys. And so, in the middle of the night, when everybody is sleeping, I went to my parents' room, went to the cupboard, I know where her purse was, opened her purse, and I saw a lot of notes inside. I didn't take all, because I knew if I'd taken all, surely I will be discovered. I will be found out. Money has been stolen. I just took one. Maybe they will not find out, but I was found out. I was caught. Nobody had to teach me how to steal. I knew how to steal as a young boy. It's because of sin. Did I know about sin? Do we know the law that to steal is bad? We know. So what did Paul mean here when he says, nay, I not known sin, but by the law? Well, when God gives to us the Ten Commandments, it not only, you know, reveals to us what sin is, it tells us, it reveals to us how sinful sin is, the sinfulness of sin, how evil, how wicked, how destructive it is when we sin against God and we break His commandments. You know, just like, by way of illustration, just like, you know, smoking, we know that smoking is bad for health. We know that, don't we? And just yesterday, I was taking breakfast in a food center, and I was buying coffee, and then at the coffee stall, there was this cabinet full of cigarettes, right? They're selling cigarettes. And on the cigarette boxes, they have a picture, photo of a man with cancer, oral cancer, and there's a warning there. Smoking causes oral cancer, and the pictures were very, very horrible, very scary, very shocking, right? Warn us of the very terrible consequences of smoking. Well, the law is like this. We know that you know, to sin and to transgress against God's law is bad. And when the Ten Commandments were given to us, and we find it and we read it in God's word, it's like the photo to shock us into realizing the very, very terrible consequences, the destructive consequences of sin. What we are, what we will become, you see. And so, the law of God is good as a sword to reveal to us, to highlight to us, to emphasize to us the terrible and horrible, destructive consequences of sin. How evil, how wicked, how destructive sin is. And that's why in Romans chapter 7, verse 12 to 13, we are told, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Okay? So take note of this. Well, when we look at the law of God, we can see ourselves. How wicked and how evil we are. How destructive we can be. Law is good. We are no good. And that's why we die. And the law functions as a sword to slay us in our sin. So the law does not deceive us. The law is very honest. It reveals to us how totally corrupted, how totally depraved we are. There's nothing good in us. And it shows also very clearly and very brightly how holy and how good and how just and righteous God is. And how God cannot condone or tolerate sin. And He, being a just God, must punish sin and sentence us to eternal damnation in the lake of fire, because we have sinned against the infinite God. And such an infinite sin would incur an infinite judgment and punishment, eternal damnation in the lake of fire. However, there is good news. All this is bad news to us. You say the law of God is good. It's good as a sword. Yes, indeed, it is good as a sword when a sinner, being confronted by the commandments of God, begin to realize how sinful he is, how he cannot save himself, and all his good works are not good enough. They are like filthy rags before the thrice holy God. And then when he starts to ask the question, who can save me? How can I get out of sin? I've broken the commandment of God. Now, who can deliver me? Who can save me from the judgment to come? And the law functions as a sword to slay and to reveal to us how sinful we are. And then when we begin to ask this question, how can I be saved? Then there is hope. We are nearer the kingdom of God when we begin to ask this question. And when we ask this question, how can I be delivered from the judgment to come? Then the law now functions in another way. It functions as a rod to guide us to the Savior. Right? And this we read and we see in Galatians chapter 2. In a parallel passage with regard to the law, Paul in Galatians chapter 2, right, verse 22 to 24, we read this. But the Scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us under Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. See, the judgments of God through the law function to direct helpless sinners to trust in the only Savior of the world, who is the way, the truth, and the life, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, for His justification and salvation. And here the term schoolmaster is significant. It is the Greek word paidagogos, which literally means a child leader, right? Someone who leads a child to the right way. And the law functions like this, as a schoolmaster, as a rod. Why as a rod? Because the schoolmaster in ancient times was someone who was usually an elderly man, and he would be seen holding a rod. And there will be, you know, a young boy in front of him, and he is supposed to lead and guide the child, the boy, to the right place. If he's supposed to go to school, he goes to school. He doesn't detour to go fishing. You lead him to the right place, to the right path, to do the right thing. That's the schoolmaster, the duty and the function of the schoolmaster, the pedagogos over here. And so the law functions like this, not only to reveal to us the seriousness and the severity of sin, then when it reveals to us how sinful we are and we ask the question, now I'm helpless, who can help me? Then the law takes on this function as a rod, a guiding rod to lead us to Christ, who can help us, who can save us, who can give us life, who can deliver us from death, who alone can save us from our sins and give us eternal life. Right? Take note of this. And what did Jesus do to be our Savior and our Redeemer? Well, that's the Christmas message. What did Jesus do for us when He came 2,000 years ago? Well, Jesus was born into this world, save us from our sins. He was born. Born for what purpose? Born to live for us. His life here on earth, all those 33 and a half years of His life on earth, was to save us, to redeem us from our sins. And Paul says the law was ordained unto life, right? The law was ordained unto life. The law was meant to give us life, not to slay us, but to give us life. So the law is good. And we die not because of the law, we die because of our sin. But actually, originally, when God gave the law, it's meant for us to find the way to heaven. And if we want to go to heaven, we must keep the Ten Commandments perfectly. And if we can keep the Ten Commandments perfectly, every one of them, without sinning against God, and we are holy as God is holy, then we can go to heaven. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And if you can do the Ten Commandments without fail throughout your life and keep it perfectly, it will be life for you. You'll go to heaven. Problem is, can we keep the Ten Commandments? How many of us here can say, I've kept the Ten Commandments perfectly from the beginning? Anyone here? I'm perfect. I have not sinned. I have not broken any commandment. Anyone here? If you say you have not broken any commandment, I say you have broken already the ninth commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness. All have sinned, God says. You are saying God is a liar then. All have sinned. And we know also in the innermost recesses of our heart and in our life we have sinned against God. Everybody is guilty. It's a fact. That's why we die. But the law was ordained unto life, and God still requires this. We must be holy as He is holy. Keep the Ten Commandments perfectly. We can't. Someone must do it for us. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ. The greater Adam. The first Adam failed, the second Adam succeeded, passed the test. He was tested and tempted in all points, like as we are, and yet without sin. He came to fulfill the commandments, to keep the Ten Commandments perfectly for you and for me, to earn the righteousness that we need to enter into heaven, so that when we confess the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to save us from our sins, the Lord Jesus will clothe us with His garment of righteousness, not our righteousness that will get us into heaven, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ that He will put on us. And then God the Father will see the righteousness of His Son that covers us, and He will receive us to Himself, being justified by faith, just as if we have not sinned, you see. But that's not enough. Jesus was born not only to live for us, He was born also to die for us. To die for us. Because the penalty of sin is death. Jesus must pay that penalty. Penalty for you and for me. He died on the cross, bearing our sins on the cross, shedding His precious blood. And the blood of Christ is the only thing that can cleanse us from all sin. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And yet, that's not the end. Jesus was born not only to live for us, to die for us, He was born to live again. He cannot be corrupted. He cannot remain in the grave. On the third day, He was raised from the dead by the power of God. That's why He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the life giver. And being raised from the dead, He has saved our soul and our body. One day we will be raised from the dead also, if we believe on Him. So if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God had raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. This is good news to everyone. And at Christmas time, let us tell the world, Jesus is born, born to live for us, to die for us, to live again for us, that we might have eternal life. And that's why in Galatians 4:4-5 we read, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law." For what purpose? "To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." How we thank God for this. So, the law functions as a sword to slay us, to reveal the destructiveness of sin. All of us are guilty and helpless. And who can save me from my sin? And the law functions as a rod to lead and to guide us to the Savior, to Christ. And then once we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, now the law would take on another role. Now the law would function as a torch to those of us who are believers, to the saints, sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the law is no longer a sword, no longer a rod. The law now takes the function of a torch to light our way, right? To tell us what we must do in this dark and sinful world. We need the light of God's truth, which is His Word. And that's why truly the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. And now as believers, as children of God, as saints, we no longer dread the law. We now desire. We desire for the law. We take a delight in the law. Is this not your experience, those of you who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you dread the law? I don't want the law of God. I don't like the law of God. I don't want to read the commandments of God. If we think like this, then we better check whether we have truly believed in the Lord or not. Because if the Holy Spirit is within us, and we have experienced the grace of God, and the law is imprinted in our hearts, we will not dread the law. We will take a delight in the law. The saint will delight in God's law. And if we love the Word of God, the law of God, the commandments of God, and desire to keep and obey the commandments of God, there's one evidence that we are children of God. We are saved. And one example of this in the Bible was David. David, a man after God's own heart. And how did David express his feelings with regard to God's law? Or how he loved the law of God? Let's look at Psalm 119. Let's turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and let us read responsively, verse 97 to 105. Psalm 119, verse 97 to 105, let us read meditatively this psalm, and see if this is not your experience also. your heart's desire, Psalm 119, verse 97 to 105, responsively, says here, "Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day." For they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Together, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, that's the word of God, the law of God, for the children of God. It is a lamp to our feet and a light unto my path. The law of God is good as a torch. For in this very, very dark world that we live in, many, many dangerous spots, potholes that we can fall into and hurt ourselves, injure ourselves, and how we must keep away from all these dangerous potholes that we find in the world, and how to know where all these dangers are. The only way is to have the law of God, to know the law of God, which serves as a torch, a lamp to our feet, and a light unto our path. Then when we use the word of God to light our way in this dark and sinful world, we know where the dangers are, and keep ourselves away from all these dangers. Right? You know that the casinos are coming up in Singapore. Is that a danger? Is that a danger to us? It's a danger to everyone. The world doesn't see it, you see. But we see it. How greed is very dangerous. How gambling is a curse. It will only lead to destruction. I fear for the people. But we who are believers are kept safe. The law of God is good. Because with the light of God's word, we can see this is very dangerous and we keep ourselves away from such a danger. And there are many other things, right? So we must know the law of God. And that's why David loved the law of God so much. And that's why also we should hunger and thirst after God's word. We want the light of God's word to shine brightly. We might have perfect eyesight, 20/20, to see the things in the world and see in the correct perspective from God's viewpoint. What pleases Him, we will do. What is against Him, we will avoid, we'll keep away. And in order to do this, we need to know the law of God or the word of God. And that's why Psalm 19, verse 7-11, turn back to Psalm 19. Right. Turn to Psalm 19. And here David again says, and he describes what the law of God is like. It says here, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." So know the law of God. Know the word of God. Study it. Is profitable for doctrine, and doctrine will give us the strength not to sin against God, not to commit any error against God. Read the testimonies of in the weekly today, how many have benefited from the study of the doctrines of the Holy Scriptures. And I would urge you, if If the law of God is so good, why are you missing out on it? By intensive, systematic study of God's Word, come and study God's Word. Night classes at FEBC will commence 5th of January, studying the book of Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law. Many wonderful things there. And then on Thursday night will be biblical covenants. Come and study. And see how the Lord will use His Word to change your life and give you comfort, give you counsel, give you strength and encouragement. Oh, you'll be amazed by the power of God's Word. That's why Jesus prayed, sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. So please don't keep away. Come and enjoy the Word of God. It is so sweet, so good. Why do we miss out on it? Come and study, all right? And don't just audit. I always tell students to take for credit. Be not only hearers. To audit means you just hear. You don't do. Be not hearers only, but also doers of the word. Take for credit. Do the assignments. Take the exam. And you will study and learn much more by this whole exercise. And if we are truly born again and believers, the law of God is good. It will show, and we will have the highest regard for God's Word. We will never doubt God's Word. We will never question God's Word. We will never deny God's Word. We will never criticize God's Word. God's Word is 100% perfect without any mistake, as our pastor has strongly affirmed. And we say amen, not because of what he says. That's precisely what God's Word says here. The law of God is perfect, converting the soul. How can we say it is less than 100%? It's utterly and truly, absolutely 100% perfect, infallible, inerrant, without any mistake, perfectly inspired and perfectly preserved. We have the very words of God today. So, dear friends, you see, the law of God is good. It gives us wisdom, gives us understanding. It helps us. For the sinner, it reveals his sin. As a sword, it slay him. Tell him it is undone. He's wretched. He's condemned. Who can save me? And then the law functions as a rod. Only one person can save you. God himself, who became man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, kept the law perfectly for you, shed his precious blood, was raised from the dead. Believe on him. And once we believe, we are saved. We become a child of God, and the law functions as a torch to light, to give us light, to light our way in this very dark and sinful world with many traps, many dangers. And then when we walk in that light, we will live a victorious Christian life that is pleasing to God, and our way will be prosperous. And we will have a happy journey toward heaven. May the Lord help us. And if you want to study further into this great truth on God's law, I would urge you to read our pastor's tract, God's Holy Law. It is made available at a tract rack outside. Take one or take as many as you need and give to your friends. God's law is seldom taught today. Nobody likes to talk about God's law. But it is good. It is just. It is holy. You must know God's law. And help yourself also to the poster, right? And use it to remind us that God's law is good and how we need it today. Let us pray. Father in heaven, how we thank thee for thy word. Thy word is truth. We thank thee for thy law. Thy law is holy and just and good also. O Lord, teach us to love thee more and more. Love thy word and love thy law, that we might lead holy and godly lives by faith that is pleasing in thy sight. So, Lord, we pray, if there's anyone here who still does not know the Lord Jesus as personal Savior, Lord, speak to his or her heart to know that there's nothing good within us. Only Jesus is good, and how we must trust him to be saved. Amen.